I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Randball, Michael Rand from the Minnesota Star Tribune. Maybe we'll try to get him on at some point later this week. His article today, this week, is a big test for the Vikings and their fans. And he's right. He goes on to say it's tempting to give into the gloom and doom of history after Sunday night's loss to the Lions. You know, it's interesting when you look at it because I do feel that we are on the verge of the doom and gloom thoughts. I'm not there, Chris. I'm not going to get there. But I do think that Vikings fans are ready to be there. If they're not there already, I think there is legitimately people in the fan base that are already doom and gloom.
We've had these high expectations. Like, we didn't want to believe. I think fans were hesitant to buy into the team. And now that they bought in, last night was a chance for validation for fans. And guess what? Lucy took the football and whew, there goes Charlie Brown. I mean, there it is. I mean, we're always Charlie Brown. Everybody else is Lucy. We're always Charlie Brown.
This is the thing, though. Whenever that happens, you know, the one thing I hate about that is that we're always waiting for something bad to happen. I hate that about us as
because
fans.
It will. It's going to. Like, it's like a Minnesota sports commandment. Thou shalt not have nice things. Thou shalt expect failure at the grandest stage.
Why do we always have to think like that?
Because
that does not help your mental anything. Well, it does not help your mental health to think that you're going to get screwed over in the end.
When is the last time that a Minnesota sports team ended the season on a positive note? I'll hang up and listen.
The Minnesota Lynx.
How long ago was that?
This year?
No, because.
Well, I mean, but hold on. Just because you're saying just because you don't win it, it's not ending up you don't have to win it to end your season on a winning note.
Now,
not on a winning note, but on a good note.
Yeah, see, fans. At this point, it's Super Bowl or bust. At this point,
I think that's a foolish way to
look at it. See, well, when you are 14-3 and you have the second best record in franchise history, there are certain expectations that come with it. When you are being talked about in the same breath as the Detroit Lions and the Philadelphia Eagles and the class of the NFC, fans hesitantly buy into that. They don't want to.
Coolest way to look at it.
They don't want to, but we've been conditioned over the years. And I mean, the fact is, I think there is something psychologically wrong with us as fans because we go into it expecting the worst. We're hoping for the best, but we're expecting the worst. And when nobody likes to say, I told you so, when our teams fail more than Minnesota sports teams. Because it's like, well, I told you Sam Darnold was going to be good. I told you that they couldn't compete.
This really does bring out the worst in us.
Oh, it does. It does, but I mean, this is who we are. We are naturally pessimistic sports fans because our history has not given us any reason to believe that. I mean, what have the Vikings made 24 consecutive? They've had 24 postseason appearances since their last Super Bowl appearance in 1977. And they're 0-5 in their last five championship games. Like, I'm going to be 50 in less than a month.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen them in a Super Bowl.
I haven't either.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think when it comes to this, I don't know. I think you have to get to a Super Bowl, I think, for fans to to maybe start to shed the specimen.
You think that this team has to get to a Super Bowl for this year to ultimately be successful?
No, it's already been successful.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about, you know, generality in terms of fans and being positive. I mean, especially after last night, we are all about, we have to live in the negativity. We have to live in our feelings. I mean, we're very pessimistic because something always happens. It does. It's the Favre interception. It's the Nelson drop. It's the, you know, Gary Anderson. It's the Blair Walsh shank at the bank. It's you know, Kyle Rudolph getting up 7-0, and then all of a sudden it's 38-7 Philadelphia. It's 41 donut. It's Kerry Collins. I mean, there's a whole litany of bad playoff performances.
I just, when we look at all of this, there's a part of me that says we have to be realist. And that's the part, though, Chris, that I think a lot of people always want to leave out. We want to be, oh, we're in our emotions, we're in our feelings. I get being in our damn feelings, but let's be realist about what's on the horizon or what this team should be.
Realistically, can they beat the Rams?
Yes.
Realistically, can they go to Detroit and beat the Lions?
Yes. I think that realistically they could beat anybody in the NFC. Realistically.
Okay.
That they're capable of doing it. Yeah, I think that's being realistic, but realistic is also acknowledging that you could lose against all these teams too.
Absolutely. But listen,
the only teams I think that can beat the Minnesota Vikings in the NFC are, I don't think Green Bay is one of them. Let me just say it off the top. I don't think Green Bay, I don't think they're capable of I think it's a bad matchup for them.
Yeah, they got to go to Philadelphia. Jalen Hurts is still in concussion protocol, though.
I think that, I say Green Bay.
No, but Green Bay's got to go to.
No, I know, but I'm just laying out the teams in the NFC that I believe that we can beat. I believe that the only teams that can beat us are Philadelphia. I believe that Detroit can beat us, and I believe the Rams can beat us. Outside of those three teams, I don't think any of those other teams.
You don't think Tampa?
Nope.
Really?
Hell no.
Okay.
Tampa don't scare me.
Okay.
At all.
And I'm not saying this because Josh is probably listening and will text in with a Baker Mayfield take. Okay. Wow. No, I think that
he knows what it is.
That offense can go total. Well, they did just kind of get shut out by New Orleans for a while yesterday. So maybe the Vikings.
Josh don't want no smoke.
The Vikings absolutely can play with anybody in the NFC. I do believe that. But after last night and the way that it happened and the way that they were thoroughly dominated, I think that's what gives fans pause. It's like, okay, yeah, they're frauds. Yeah, they're frauds.
Oh,
I mean, it wasn't competitive. The only time it was competitive was when it was nothing.
I give you that. It wasn't very competitive.
I think the whole tone of the conversation, I feel like the whole perception of the Minnesota Vikings by fans, it's just like Sam Darnold. It's based on last night.
It changes quickly. Yes.
Everybody's forgetting what happened everywhere else. They're forgetting about the other, you know, two losses. They're forgetting about the other 14 wins. They're just focused on last night, and you got dominated by a superior team that put pressure on your quarterback who couldn't handle it, and you had a head coach that, you know, some people are questioning, some people don't. I just feel like we're in a position right now where fans are, you know, we're in a fragile state. I think as the week goes along, people are going to feel a little bit better. But right now, I think people are nervous. Folks are nervous.
All right, so speaking of nervous, 651-461-9226. I want to get to something that's happening right now in real time that can make some people nervous, especially Christopher Tubbs. We get to that next year on The Late Show.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I want to get into some real-time analysis Christopher Tubbs loves him some NDSU Bison football.
Hail the Bison.
Bison on fire tonight in the FCS championship. National championship. 1-2 Montana State. The number one seed. They are 15-0 undefeated against North Dakota State. North Dakota State opened up a can on Montana State in the first half. They went into the halftime break up 21-3. 21-3. Currently, right now, NDSU is driving late third quarter. We got less than a minute left in the third quarter. They lead 21-18. They've been shut out in the third quarter, and Montana State has put up 15 points.
And they did it.
Are you nervous?
And they did it very quick.
Are you nervous?
Yes, I'm very nervous. I'm very nervous. Because this is Montana State has not scored
too many penalties by you guys. Yeah. You're 7 penalties to their 2.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, sometimes the officials are you know, they're Montana residents. I mean, we can't help that. Let's see the line judge's driver's license. Okay, where are you residing? Huh? Oh, Bryce Lance! Bryce Lance! Bryce Lance, baby, there we go!
NDSU with the deep ball.
Man! Bryce Lance is just, he's made some sick plays.
They're going to review that to make sure he caught it.
Oh, but, he caught it.
No, to me, he clearly caught it, but I'm saying that's why they're stopping the game. Wow. That makes you feel good all of a sudden, huh?
It does. That makes me feel...
Yes, obvious catch.
Yeah. I tell you what, though. Like, Bryce Lance made a fantastic catch against South Dakota State in the semifinals a couple of weeks ago. He had a fantastic catch earlier tonight that we were both watching that we thought was a touchdown, where he cut to the corner of the end zone, had the toes inside the pylon.
Ball didn't break the plane.
Yeah, the ball didn't break the plane. Now, his feet were in, but they called the ball down at the one at the end of the first half. He consequently caught a touchdown on the next pass. So, it's a really... I think it's important for North Dakota State to go back and score. Obviously, it's kind of like I'm football guy right now, right? You have to go down and you have to. I'm football guy. You have to go down and you have to answer with that touchdown. Because guess what? Montana State, like, they are picking up big chunks of yardage. And if there's one thing North Dakota State does defensively, is that they grind and they will wear you down. They want you to have these longer drives and get behind the sticks. Montana State's not that kind of team. Here's what it's going to be.
This is going to be interesting.
The Bison are going to have to hold on for dear life in this fourth quarter.
Well, if they score a touchdown here, I think the game's over.
Oh, no. Because that'll still just be a 10-point game. So it'll be 28-18.
But how much time will...
An entire quarter.
Yeah, no, I know, but I'm saying Montana State does have a quick strike offense.
Yep.
So, yeah, I see your point. It's not quite out of reach. It'd be pretty darn close.
I think you got to – you score here, and, I mean, that's not a guarantee, and then you go up by 10, but then you got to force Montana State to grind it out. If you could get them to punt the ball back to you and then take a couple minutes off the clock and then give it back to them and they're down by 10 and there's maybe like 7 or 8 minutes left –
I think
you're in a better spot.
If you get a 3-and-out on the following possession, then yeah, no, you're in.
Yeah, you're in really good shape. So this does become an important possession, but I don't want to just assume that, you know, North Dakota State's going to get to the 2 and then score. I believe he was down at the 2. But yeah, Trey Lance, man.
Will there be a celebration tonight?
Oh, of course. Of course.
At your crib?
Yes.
It's going down?
Yes. We're gonna crack open a carbonated water and have some leftover, probably some bacon-wrapped shrimp.
This guy.
I mean, the party is going to go late into the night until the crack of 10:30.
This guy.
Hey, man. Not everybody can... oh, man, that dude's hyped up. That dude's hyped up. Hey, not everybody can... Oh, need a guy underneath, too. Not everybody can party.
That's
like
a great catch. And by the way, for the listening audience out there, this is Lance. Who's this Lance kid? Mm-hmm. You want to say who the Lance kid is?
Bryce Lance, younger brother of Trey Lance, the pride and joy of Marshall, Minnesota, and then the North Dakota State.
Is the entire family from Marshall?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know if they've got any more Lances down there.
So why didn't the Gophers end up with a second Lance?
I don't know. I don't know why they didn't want the second Lance.
They didn't take the first Lance because they didn't think he was good enough to play at the University of Minnesota. And so then that kid makes it to be a top five NFL draft pick, and the younger Lance is a wideout, and you don't look to get him?
They don't look to get him either, no.
What are we doing?
I don't know. There might be a Lance that's a running back, so I mean, if you wanna take a shot at that one, no, I don't know if there's any more Lances. I don't know if there's any more. But it's a pretty cool story. I was happy to see that Trey Lance, you know, got a little bit of run with the Dallas Cowboys, touchdown, Bison, boom. There you go. There you go. Just a nice
There you
little,
go, baby. There you go.
Nice little rollout to your
I'm
tight end.
I'm trying to give you a confidence
there
boost.
There you go.
I don't want you to be doom and gloom like the Vikings
Cam
fans.
Miller to Joe Stoffel, baby. When can you get Cam Miller to Los Angeles?
Don't be doom and gloom up in
here,
man.
Hey, man. Hey, Cam Miller is going to win a championship. And then you know what? You just need to go out to Los Angeles. Go out there and quarterback the Vikings in a week. He got nothing to do. I mean, he's a football player. He'll get all A's at NDSU.
Man.
I kid.
Oh, man. You're looking good right now, man. I'm rooting for you, man.
Thank you.
I've got no real reason to root for NDSU other than you, other friends that I have that went to NDSU, and most importantly, the amount of Minnesotans that have attended NDSU.
Yeah.
And played there. That's strictly it.
North Dakota State
Have any affiliation to NDSU.
Yeah, NDSU has been a big beneficiary of the fact that Minnesota for years could not and would not recruit within the state. North Dakota State's like, you know what? We'll take him, we'll take him, we'll take him, we'll take him. Guess what? South Dakota State did it. SDSU did it. UNI did it. I mean, and of course, you know, you've got your other, you know, Big Ten programs. But, yeah, you had some FCS-level schools that end up, you know, that they end up picking up a lot of these kids that get a chance to play D1 football. I mean, it's not your, you know, it's not your Power Five. But, I mean, look at that. I mean, it's a great atmosphere, and it's, the thing is, like, you've got a lot of very good football on that level. And it's not like it's a step down.
You're putting guys in NFL.
Exactly.
Carson Wentz, Trey Lance.
Easton Stick is a backup for the Chargers. And I know that might not mean anything.
One of my former students years ago, Marcus.
Marcus Williams.
Marcus Williams.
Yeah, it was a cornerback. Yeah, he was. Yeah, I remember Marcus Williams. Man, Marcus Williams was.
I need to text Marcus.
Marcus was a stud. Man, Marcus, nobody wanted to throw at Marcus Williams. Like, nobody wanted to throw at Marcus Williams.
Yeah, Marcus is a good kid.
He was.
For all you Bison fans out there,
he was him.
You got 14 minutes left in this game to get you another championship.
I mean, it's not the Duke's Mayo Bowl, but I mean, I guess a national championship.
Wow, is that a shot fired at the Gophers?
No, I mean, ain't nobody getting doused with mayonnaise after this. But
I feel like that shot's fired.
No, I mean, hey, it's again. I mean, you're gonna have a national championship trophy.
That's definitely shots fired.
Or you'll have a picture of your head coach covered in mayo. The choice is yours. You can get with this, or you can get with that.
Wow. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Shots fired.
You know I'm right. You know I'm right.
Goodness.
You know. Hey, tell me when I'm telling lies.
Yep. This is the possession, though, that is going to make you nervous. Because if you guys take care of business here and you get a stop, you're going to feel great. You give up a quick touchdown.
Go get him. Get him. Get him. Yeah.
They'll get you.
See? Oh, it's a catch. You know what, though?
Time off the clock.
Clock's rolling, baby, and it's like a third down and four.
Hey, coming up next, we're going to take a look at the local weather. And you guys know what today is. It's not just a cold, windy day in the Twin Cities. It is January 6th in the United States of America. And that date still leaves a bad taste in my mouth. We'll get to that next.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey! And he's feeling funky now that his boys scored a touchdown. Oh, they just gave up a touchdown.
Yeah, they scored. They just gave one up.
I know, that's what I just said. Welcome back to The Late Show, News Talk 830 WCCO.
I'm feeling funky. I'm feeling funky.
This makes me feel good, which I want to feel good. I want everybody to feel good. But I do have to admit that whenever the calendar turns to the day of January the 6th, I feel awkward. I feel awkward, and I think that I will always feel awkward on January the 6th. And it's not the only day that I feel awkward on. The other day that I feel awkward on is September 11th. And I'm going to feel, and when I say awkward or a little bit weird, it's for different reasons, clearly. Right? There were so many people that lost their lives with the terrorist attacks on September 11th. I feel different about January the 6th because January the 6th, to me, will forever be a stain on it'll be a stain within the fabric of this nation's history. To this day, when I still see video and images of what took place, it's still really hard for me to believe it, that occurred, that people would get to that level of wanting to be destructive, to want to get to that level of being a disruptor. It's still mind-blowing to me. It's mind-blowing to me, people that will still try to wash it away as though it was just a field trip, as though everything was on the up and up. You know what? It was all good, and then it just got out of hand for like 15 minutes. If you believe that, that is the furthest thing from the truth. There are people that were hell-bent on January the 6th being a day of destruction from the start. And so, you know, for me, I think that the issue that I have right now is I don't think that we adequately as a country have denounced it the way that we should. I don't know how you feel about that, Chris, but that's how I feel about it. Like, I think that a rational, reasonable person would know that, yeah, that was some pretty bad stuff that happened that day. Like, there were officers that were assaulted, that were beat up, it was an attack on the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
By domestic terrorists, and people just trying to poo-poo it and act like it's not a big deal, that's probably not the way to go about looking at this. But until we get people to understand the significance of that day, I think we're going to have a lot of people lost still.
Well, I think people saw it, and they just don't care. I think some people, you know, those—
But why would you not care, though, I guess would be the question.
Well, I mean—
Why would you not care that your capital is under siege?
You don't care because there was a good reason for it. Because the election, it was stolen, right? I mean, because someone told you that this was a very, this was a nefarious and underhanded event. And you are being told that you need to go reclaim something that was taken away from you, which is not the case. They're already teaching this in school. Like January 6, 2021 is already being taught in schools. And I am just shocked that there are some that would choose to look at it and say, well, yeah, it wasn't a big deal. No, it was a big deal. It was one of the scariest things that I've ever seen, because I saw the very, you know, fabric and the symbol of what our country is supposed to be being overrun by domestic terrorists. Mm-hmm. And that's who those people were. Those people that ransacked the Capitol that day, it was an insurrection, and they are domestic terrorists. And it's okay to say that they were domestic terrorists, because they were. But to go back and, you know, 4 years later to be like, you know what, it's not that big of a deal. It is a big deal. You know, we have people that are trying to rewrite history. And you can't rewrite history because we saw what we saw with our own eyes.
Yep.
And what bothers me, Henry, is that there are so many people that saw that and are like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I support that. You know what? I'm in agreement with people, you know, threatening lawmakers. I'm fine with them beating up police. I'm fine with them. I just don't know how you can look at that and say that is what is the best of it. That is what I want to be associated with.
I mean, how could you ever be okay with that? I just don't. That part, I just will never, ever understand. I'll never be okay with that.
No.
I will never be okay with that.
No.
And this is the thing. Like,
I won't either. But we're...
There are people that have questions about this year's election. Did anything happen today?
No.
With the certification, did anything happen today? What was so drastically different about today as opposed to back in 2021? I can't quite put my finger on it.
I can't tell you. I don't know what the difference would be between now and 4 years ago. I can't.
Yeah, no clue.
Nothing's coming to mind. But it bothers me, and it saddens me that, yeah, people would look at that and be like, the guy that caused that, I support that guy. That's my guy. That's my dude. That I will never understand that. There are a lot of things in this world that I will not understand. But the validation, I just don't know how you can validate, how you can objectively validate what happened on January 6, 2021 and be okay with it.
Yeah, I don't know how people are able to compartmentalize all this stuff.
I don't even think it's compartmentalizing. I think it's validating more so than compartmentalizing. You know, and I know, you know, I see the talk line here, the talking text line. You know, video of George Floyd far surpasses June 6th, including the 3 days of burning down, more substantial than January 6th. January 6th was an attack on the nation. That was an attack on the Capitol, which is one of the landmarks of the United States of America. Now, I know that your guy was the one that was leading it, but I don't think you can say that George Floyd Square and everything that happened there is bigger than what happened on January 6th, because we're talking about Minneapolis compared to the United States. I love Minneapolis, but the United States is much more prevalent and I think has a... damaging to attack.
We're comparing an organic reaction to a man's life being brutally taken to a planned insurrection. That's what we're doing now. Is that what we're doing, Texter? I don't think they're the same. And no one is okaying burning down buildings on Lake Street.
No, nobody is.
But no one's dumb enough to think that they're one and the same, that they are even on the same level, that inorganically the way that people reacted around the world, mind you, to the murder of George Floyd, to a planned insurrection, What do you say to George? Not to George, but to Mike Pence. If you had the courage, come on, stop it. People okaying police officers being beaten up at the Capitol. I mean,
yeah,
a text like that to try in any way, shape, or form to justify what took place, I think. It's pretty telling.
If you love something, why do you want to hurt it? If you love something, why do you want to see something harmful come to it? Why would you want to?
Because you don't actually love that thing you say you love. You love yourself.
But we hear a lot about, I love this. This means a lot to me.
Anybody that says, back the blue, you support law enforcement and all this stuff, whatever, but you believe that January 6th was just a stroll in the, like, you can't sell me that with a straight face.
No.
Like, that's ridiculous.
No. And listen, this is not even, it's not even, let's take the political party out of it. Let's flip it.
But they can't, though. That's the problem with all this, is that any rational person would be able to separate themselves from Trump and politics and all that. They're not able to do it. That's the problem with a lot of people nowadays, is that they're caught up in all of this stuff where they're not able to create any separation.
It's identity politics. I am identified by my political party. If it was the Democrats that did it,
people also wanted to culture worship people. Why would you want to do that?
What do you mean culture worship?
Like, there are people legitimately that look at Donald Trump as their savior. That's you being wrapped up into worshiping somebody
because of what he says. It's because of what he says. He's got those very influential leadership, characteristics.
What he says?
Where he says.
Or the lies.
What he says are the lies. They're one and the same. But it's like, I will save you. I will protect you. I will be the one that.
I will lower your groceries. Oops, I won't do that.
No, but Donald Trump says that he will protect you and keep you from everything that is. He will protect you,
even though the evidence says otherwise.
It doesn't matter what the evidence says. It's what does Donald Trump say?
He told you he was going to show you his taxes back in 2016.
Doesn't matter.
He told you he was going to give you a health care plan.
Doesn't matter.
It's 2025. This man told you he was going to give you a health care plan back in 2016. And he just told you a couple months ago, I got concepts of a health care plan. Dude, it's been damn near a decade. You don't have a health care plan for the American people? He don't love you, people. He don't love you, man.
It's just about it's about getting the people to believe you. You don't have to – if you say something enough, even if it's a lie, you can still say it. If you say it enough, people will start to believe it.
And then we have immigrants with money in our country, like Elon Musk, that talk bad about Americans now. And we accept that too? Woo! It's rough out here in these streets, man. It really is. Final segment of The Lake Show coming up next. Ah, man, I get to go home and watch a little Gopher basketball, Timberwolves basketball. The Timberwolves get a chance to, if they can, pull off a come-from-behind victory tonight against the LA Clippers. Mm-hmm. They got one more quarter left. They lead by 1 point. They were down by as much as almost like 20.
Yeah, they were down by 19 early in that game.
Can North Dakota State hold on? Can they hold on?
I know. 1st and 10. Chew some clock. But you got to come away with a touchdown. Up by 3.
You need to.
Yeah.
You're running good clock here, though. Oh, yeah. You're about to get, oh, I thought he was about to get a touchdown.
That's all right. All right. Get it to a second and one. It's okay.
The from the 952, over 700 officers were injured during Floyd peaceful protests across the nation. And to that I would say, and what? No one on this show endorses any officers getting injured ever. So what is the point? Is this the both side-isms that we're doing now?
Looks like it.
I think that that's the both. Well, because of January 6th, we're going to just throw this out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's January the 6th, which is why the topic is about January the 6th.
Yeah, right, yes.
But we're going to play the both side-isms. Come on.
Why can't we look at one event and just kind of look at it?
I guess we're not capable of doing
it. In its entirety.
We're not capable of doing that on January the 6th.
There was a lot of bad things that happened with the George Floyd protest.
And we've acknowledged
that.
We spoke about it in real time.
Yeah.
Like, we were on the air every single day.
Yeah. We didn't have days off for months. No days off. Like, for any of us. And guess what? We were working at secret locations. We were, you know, working random hours with, you know, equipment that we had never worked. Like, we were literally day by day.
In a pandemic.
We were literally trying to piece together our lives and our broadcast to try and you know, give the best information that we can. We understand what happened. We're not downplaying that at all.
And this is the thing. I think that we live in a society nowadays is that when people say things about real life situations, there are people out here in the world. I'm not talking about anybody that's listened to the show tonight or anybody specifically that's texted the show, but I'm just talking in general,
mm-hmm.
that intentionally try to be dumb about stuff. Like, for instance, when somebody talks about a clear situation or incident of police brutality or excessive mm-hmm. force, they try to make that seem, if you say anything about that, that you're anti-cop. It's the dumbest take ever. That a person on the surface can't talk about an incident that happens and at the same time be for law enforcement. Yeah, of course you can be. You can talk about the realities of a certain situation being bad, being not the face of what all police officers do for work, and on the other hand, be able to support them. But that's the game that people want to play. Well, if you're saying this, you're not for the police.
These conversations are very complex, and they have a lot of levels. They have a lot of layers. And you just can't look at it and say, okay, we're going to talk about January 6th in this way only. Or we're going to talk about George Floyd and the riots in Minneapolis and the burning and the looting. We're going to talk about it this way. These have so many layers, and they're complex, and they're difficult to talk about. If they were simple, we could just talk about it once and be done with it. But it's not like that. Like, these are now baked into the fabric of what we are. And whether or not we want to accept it, it's the reality of it.
I still treat police brutality and law enforcement type of issues when they come up
mm-hmm.
as outliers. I've never yes. once in my life looked and said all police are bad or try to, you know what I'm saying, describe police in one way.
Yes.
Like, I don't think that's fair to police officers, number one. The same way it's not fair to lump everybody of a certain religious background or ethnic background or racial background, whatever, right, or sexual preference as being the type of person that's going to do this.
Yeah, you can't stereotype
it. It makes no sense whatsoever.
No.
This is where we're at.
It doesn't, yeah. And that's it's kind of what people want. It's what people want to listen to. It's what they want to – people hear what they want to hear. You can talk about nine things one way, but if you mention the one thing another way, people are going to latch onto that one thing because that's what they want to hear. And therefore, we get into a conversation about a very small portion of whatever that topic was, and that seems to cannibalize the entire conversation. You know, people are going to listen to everything already with a preconceived bias. That's exactly what's going to happen. How about North Dakota State?
I think this is a perfect example of people talk about late. People talk about defenseless.
Yeah,
I think that you can make the case that defenseless hits on guys. That's a defenseless receiver to me. Well, not really. But when I guess my point is, we got to watch it with the low hits, man.
Well, that's
a good hit though.
That's a good hit. That was to the hip.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. At first glance, it looked like he might have caught him in the knee, but that definitely that knocked the wind out of him.
Yeah, that was it. That was in like the hip and the thigh. And yeah, you definitely. Yeah, you know, I think it was last night when Jahmyr Gibbs went out.
That was a hell of a hit.
It was a hell of a hit, and I was just hoping that he was going to come back because you don't want. You want to give your team every advantage, but we have to remember, like, a lot of these sports. That's physical. Like, these guys are, I mean, they're literally beating the crap out of each other every single play. Yeah, and I hope the kid from Montana State, okay, good, he's able to get up. He's limping. He's limping, but at least
that was a low blow.
No, it wasn't a low blow.
No, I'm saying it was a low blow. He hit him in the lower part of his body.
Well, he hit him in the hip. He didn't hit it.
The part that was really hurt in all of that wasn't his hip. It was his lower limbs. That was the part. I get what you're saying about where the activation of the hip was. I'm just telling you. In real time, his legs, it was like, woof.
Yeah, like his, it wasn't a low blow by any stretch of the imagination. But second down and 10.
I think you guys hold on.
2.5 minutes. I'll be celebrating a natty. I might go home and douse myself in some mayo. Maybe I'll go with some Hellman's. Hellman's mayo sounds good.
I like sandwich bread better.
Ooh, how about some Miracle Whip? I know I got Miracle Whip.
Gross.
Yeah, I got Miracle Whip.
Miracle Whip is nasty.
Let's go party!
Gosh, yeah. Are we done?
We're done.
Yeah, we're done. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
You're like Montana State. You're done.
6 to 9, The Late Show.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.